A few halachas relating to the 9 days. Is a person allowed? Okay, one of the things that a person is not allowed to do is we discussed yesterday: eating meat and drinking wine. Okay, just some collection of halachas. Malava malka. It's not a gave really anymore. So something is hard to malava malka. It's not a gave this year anymore. We already finished. You're not allowed to eat meat. Even though you think it's a mitzvah Shabbos, does not matter. Okay, that's really not so much no yet. Now let's discuss making purchases, acquisitions. Is a person allowed to purchase new clothing, to purchase furniture, to purchase anything significant? The answer is no. Even things that a person does not make a shechianu on, the halacha is a person is not allowed, the Ramah says, to purchase anything new during the 9 days, including shoes, even undergarments, linen, towels. It says here, he writes, even to buy a new yarmulke. A person should not buy a new yarmulke during the 9 days.
Rabbi, what if it was bought a month before? Can you start to use it and you didn't use it yet? Can you use it?
No, freshly laundry. Well, that's that will come to a few moments.
Linen
not. We'll come to that in a few moments. Freshly laundered garments will come to that in a few moments. But let's first discuss the halacha of acquisitions. A person during the 9 days is not supposed to buy anything new. Even things he writes here, it's very surprising. He writes over here, Simcha Bunim Kohn, he's not from the biggest machmirim. Contrary to popular belief.
Even if he doesn't use it,
correct. Even if he's not planning to use it until after the 9 days, the general rule is usur. There are many exceptions, but right off the bat, the general rule is the 9 days is not a time to purchase anything new, even socks. What? We're coming to the exceptions. But we're going to come to all of the exceptions in one moment. But let us first. Yes, I do need. Thank you very much. It's quite perfect. You can give it after you want. Let's first just focus where the starting point is. So it's very interesting in halacha. I always tell you this, that when it comes to halacha, you go to a place, there are two types of place. You go to ask a shayla. You go to a place. So there are two, there's place A and place B. Place A, you have a shayla? The answer is, I don't even want to hear what the shayla is. The fact that you're coming to ask me a question, the answer is usur. Usur. Maybe I can find for you a heter. But just by coming and knocking on my door, you should know by default it is usur. Then there's place like B. You come in, yes, me a shayla, of course it's mutter. Of course it's mutter. Well, why should it be usur? What could possibly be a reason why it should be usur? Let's see if we can find a reason why. The question why it should be usur. It's a very different frame of mind. Very different frame of mind when a person asks a question, do you start out that it's usur and you have to find a reason why it should be mutter, or do you start out that it's mutter and you have to find a reason why it should be usur? There are different types of poskim. Okay, I can identify you, I don't want to say names, but I can identify you one posek that when you come to him, it's mutter. And he's going to try to go work with you. It's very, 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 it's very refreshing. He'll work with you. He'll say, let's see, why should it be usur? What could be possibly, he doesn't say the words to me, it's mutter. He asks him a shayla, and he says to me, well, why? What are the issues? Why should there be a problem? Is this the issue? No, doesn't apply here. Is this an issue? No, I don't think so. Maybe this is the problem? Well, okay, maybe according to one opinion, but in your situation, maybe there's a reason to be lenient. It's a very refreshing approach when you go to a real Talmud Chacham and you present a question, and right away he says, well, I don't really think it should be a problem, but let's work through it. And then you go to another Paisek, who's an amateur, okay, and you write, oh, I have a shayla, oh. If you're coming to ask a question, there's got to be a problem. There's got to be a reason why it's usur. We have to go and bend backwards and find an exotic tshuva somewhere from Avadi Yosef who came up with a legal loophole. Why, in your instance, maybe we can be makel, but you should feel a guilt. Even though it's going to be, at the end of the day, it's going to be mutter, you should feel a lot of guilt when you do. It's a whole different approach, the Pesach Halacha. So unfortunately, Rabbi Yisai, when it comes to the 9 days, as I said yesterday, a lot of the halachas are negative halachas. It's what you're not allowed. It's a very unique mitzvah in halacha. And here as well, when it comes to the inyan of making acquisitions during the 9 day, unfortunately, we have a shaila. Are you allowed to buy something during the 9 day? Unfortunately, in this particular instance, no, you're not. You're not allowed to make new acquisitions. Now, there are many, many exceptions. For example, you don't have what to wear. Okay? You don't have what to wear. Then, of course, you don't have what to wear. That's an exception. You're going to be embarrassed. And you need it for your health. Or you just basically need it for your basic average standards of living. Then it is permitted. If you don't have a yarmulke, the yarmulke blows away in the wind. It's a davar pashut. You can go purchase a brand new yarmulke. There's no question. You don't know what socks. Your socks have holes in it. Of course, you can go buy new socks. Person does not have shoes for Tisha B'Av. You need to buy special non-leather shoes. That's an acquisition. You can buy very nice shoes. You can buy very expensive shoes for Tisha B'Av. It's permitted. Okay, that's we'll discuss a whole different debate about what kind of shoes you wear. I think that according to many opinions, many pious give, there's no need to torture yourself. The only issue is not to wear leather shoes. You want to go buy an expensive pair of shoes that are comfortable and they're not leather. Okay, there are people that hold that you should try to conform to the spirit of the day. But not everyone goes to such an extreme in that area. And you need to purchase shoes. Obviously, lechatchil, if you're going to buy an expensive pair of shoes for Tisha B'Av that are comfortable and not leather, you should do it before Tisha B'Av. But if you forgot to do so, which happens more often than not, then yes, you can go do it. You can buy it during the 9 days. You can purchase shoes that you need for Tisha B'Av. Children, very, very makel when it comes to children. A person does not have a talis. A talis, a person can purchase. A talis is not so simple. If you can borrow one, talis is a very chashuv thing to buy a talis. So if you can borrow one, it would be better to borrow one. You have to, it's not so simple. If you buy, you can't make a bracha. If you borrow, you have to give matana. He writes here, a talis should not be purchased unless no other one is available. But a talis katan, he says, a talis katan you can buy during the 9 days, because a talis katan is not choshuv, and it's a purpose of a mitzvah. So a talis katan can be acquired for children, newborns, or things like that. You can acquire if there's a sale. Let us say there's a flash sale online. You get a message, half price, an outrageous sale. Yes, you are, and the sale will end before Tisha B'Av, or you are concerned that by Tisha B'Av it will be sold out. Yes. If you're not going to be able to get such a good deal, you're allowed to acquire it. A chassan and kala who need to acquire clothing for their wedding, it's also an exception, they can acquire it. A person is traveling and he needs things for his trip, it's also an exception. So there are really so many exceptions. Person can wait, buy nothing. If you need it or there's a sale, or there's special preparations that are necessary for the future, those are exceptions that can be acquired. Svarim? L'chari, yeah. Definitely, yes. Dvar mitzvah.
Matana?
Good question. Matana, can you give a gift? A small gift, yes. A large gift, no. Okay, very good question. You want to go give a bar mitzvah gift. You invite to go bar mitzvah in the 9 days. Or you go to a bris. Or I had this on Rosh Chodesh. Someone wanted to buy him a birthday present. Okay, I wanted to buy this guy a birthday present. So are you allowed to give him? It was Rosh Chodesh Av. His birthday was on Friday, so are you allowed to? Not. So I bought him a sefer. So I figured, the fact that it's a sefer, it's Torah, and it wasn't very expensive, according, you know, certainly not the one that I gave it to. He has plenty of money. He seems to be very, very successful. So... What? I pay tax. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I pay tax. Painfully. Yes, I did. With a lot of pain, I pay tax. And guess what? I didn't have a choice. It wasn't. See, that's the best. You don't have a deal. They didn't offer me a deal in the store where I bought. They didn't give me any offers. Okay, one size fits all. And so I bought a present for someone on Rosh Chodesh Av. Well, it says here that a small present is permitted. But if you want to give a person a significant present, it's not the time, you should wait until after. Are you allowed to buy, let's say, a nice pair of eyeglasses? Yeah. Okay, you want to, once you're already getting eyeglasses, you want to buy a nice pair of eyeglasses, it would appear that you're allowed to. Of course, tefillin, you're allowed to buy a new pair of tefillin. Now, what about ordering something for after Tish? Let's say you go on Amazon, you want to go order things. And you know, they give you a bonus. If you're not Macbid on Prime, on next day shipping, they give you $5. $5. $5 off if you'll wait a week until it will come. Are you allowed to do that? So here's the answer. It's very complicated because if you would not have to pay for it immediately and it would not arrive until after Tisha B'Av, it's mutter. Question is a credit card. Okay, so if you buy, look about Amazon or online, you buy something today and it says expected to arrive next week, next Monday. So the answer is, if this moment in time you're paying for it, you're giving them a debit card, and it's coming right out of your account, l'chora not, it's usur. Even though it's not going to arrive until after Tisha B'Av, the fact that you've paid for it, and they have received the money, and you are now the legal owner, it's just a question of transportation, usur. If you're not yet paying for it until it arrives, or you can argue a credit card, I'm not paying for it. Who's paying for the purchase? My credit card company is paying for it. I owe them the money. So then there's grounds to be lenient, and you can make an acquisition of something expensive, something that you don't need, no emergency. If you need it, you need it. You need a refrigerator, you don't have a choice. You need a range tie, you need whatever, an oven, things you need, you don't know what to wear, you need it, that's but let's say you don't need it, no big deal, no emergency, but just convenient for me to make the acquisition today. So with a credit card, and you will not receive delivery until after Tisha B'Av, yeah, L'chore, you can make the acquisition. If you're using a debit card, or you're paying cash, and they actually, you now, then it's usur, because that's called, the transaction is complete. I know you'll find Lamdanim who will tell you with a credit card, it's also considered to be an immediate acquisition. Not so simple. The credit cards are one of the most complicated areas of halacha. So a whole new reality, that Chazal did not, I mean, we try to extrapolate Chesha Mishpat, how does halacha treat credit cards. People have written svarim, mamish, a big, big, thick svarim on trying to figure out every mikzoy and halacha how we view a credit.
Listen, a check.
What?
A check
is also
clear until next week. That type of thing.
So the check does not. The check is according to most poskim, a check is a shtar. It's more of a shtar, and a shtar is more serious than a credit card. It's you give a person a even though the check doesn't clear, but the check, it's a much more significant transaction than, so here's a good question. You purchase something with a check. So
l'chaira,
the check doesn't clear. I don't know the answer. You're a very good question.
It's a legal commitment.
I don't know the answer. It's a commitment, but is it a commitment or is it considered an acquisition on the spot? The simple answer is it would be awesome. Using a check is more chomor than purchasing something with a credit card. Even though you'll tell me just the opposite, in today's day and age, everything is so sophisticated. When you use a credit card, it's all in the system, and it's a guarantee almost. You'll get the money. Whereas when it's guaranteed that your credit card company will come after you and will repossess your house to make sure they get their money. So you'll argue that when it comes to a credit card, it's almost guaranteed that the transaction is going to go through here and be, so one way or another. And with a check, I can call up the bank, I can cancel the check.
It's
right?
Easier. No, it's the opposite. It's easier to stop a credit card.
You can stop a credit card.
A once you give a check and it's presented, it's against the law.
It's a crime. It's a crime. Now, here's where you get more complicated. Only a crime in America. Wait, it's a crime only in America, I think.
Well,
no, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that's correct. Okay, I take it back. Okay, a check is
Israel
very...
Israel is very strong.
Uh-oh.
Very strong.
So where is it a crime? In certain countries, every country has a different set of rules. Every country has a different set of rules. In some countries, to cancel a check is called... It's a crime. It's illegal. If you have no good reason to cancel a check, it's a crime. Other countries, it's not a crime. Do whatever you want. It's a free country. So I don't know the answer to the question, but it appears from what lingers, what is spinning in my head, echoing in my mind, is that a check in halacha is more chomor than a credit card, even though in the modern world, a credit card may practically be more in motion. The process is much more guaranteed. In motion, guaranteed in motion, than it is with a check. Enochinami. Halacha, more often than not, does not follow the world of reality. Halacha follows its own guidelines. You write a shtar, you write a check generally has the status of a shtar. A shtar is heavyweight in Chazal. A credit card is a new phenomenon in halacha. Halacha
the
doesn't...
check can bounce.
What?
The check can
I know, that's what I told you. I told you that. I told you the check can bounce, and the credit card, they'll come after you. They'll repossess your house. Okay, the check, they're not going to come to repossess your assets. If you give a check and the check bounces, ha-ha, too bad for that fellow. He's not getting his money. If you give a credit card, they're going to come after you. There's no bouncing with a credit card. They're going to come. You owe the money. You owe the money. You don't have the money. So
when
technically,
you sign that receipt, it's a credit card. I think it says you
liability. It's not so simple, okay? They. If you don't have money in your bank to cover, so technically, will they? That's another. So I once had a story, right, not that long ago. I got a charge on my card. I couldn't believe it. Got a charge on my card. This is an amazing, goes to show what goes on in this day and age. I got a charge on my credit card for $400. A gift card. Someone purchased a gift card. I never purchased a gift card for $400. It said where it was made. So I called, it was a Dwayne Reed in Manhattan. Okay? So I had the address. I typed in the address. I got the Dwayne Reed. I called up the Dwayne Reed. I said, someone here used my card. I don't know, what is this about? It says my name on the card. They used my card to purchase a $400 gift card. And then obviously the guy probably spent it. So he says, let me check. He types in a few things. Okay, you're right. I saw it was made this day and this time, 2 days ago, exactly this time. Let me go to the computer, to the video camera, to the security cameras. He goes to on the phone with him, all within 60 seconds. I called up. I saw online a charge was made to my credit card for $400. I saw where the transaction was made in the store. I called up the store. The store says, yes, I see the transaction. It was yesterday at this time. He looks on the security camera. He goes back. Yeah, I see you. I see a person exactly at that time presenting a credit card, and making the purchase. That must be you, right? I said, it can't possibly be me. So he says, yeah, this happens every so often, where someone gets hold of your credit card, and they make a credit card out of my number, and they put their own picture, and they have their own identification. He says the guy in the video presented ID, fake ID with my name on it. And he said, yeah, this happens. He said, just...
Why would he
made, they're very sophisticated. I made a transaction online, an unsecure connection. Someone stole my credit card. They made an ID, a fake ID. He told me this. He says this happens every so often. I called the credit card company. I was talking to him. He says, this happens. Don't worry. Just call the credit card company. So I said, what are they going to do? So he says, you know what they're going to do? They're going to do nothing. For the credit card company, $400 is not worth it for them to launch an investigation, to file a police report, and to analyze this fellow and to track him down. That they're dealing with millions of dollars of fraud. So that's what it's all about. For $400, I got the money back right away. The $400, it's not worth it for the credit
card company.
I got a new credit card. They canceled the credit card. They sent me a new credit card, and the $400 was refunded. And the guy said to me, the credit card company should call the police, file a police report, and the police should come to the store to get the feed of the fellow has the fake ID and to go track him down. But he said to me, this happens all the time here, and they're not going to do it. Then why are they not going to do it? Because for the credit card company, $400 is bupkis. It's peanuts.
And that's why the criminals get away with it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's not worth it. They're chasing after millions of dollars of fraud. It's not worth $400 for them. But you're okay. Don't worry about it. You'll get your money back. It's part of the system. Okay? So you see what goes on.
Right.
How scary. So now, so the point over here is, but you're right. So you know you're protected. But the point is, a credit card, it's much more in motion than a check. But yet, the world of halacha has a very different standard. Halacha, a shtar is a shtar. So I cannot tell you as a definitive fact, but to purchase a new item with a check appears to be usur. Cash is nothing to talk about as usur. A debit card is usur. But a credit card, a real credit card, where you are not paying now, the one that's paying is the company, and they're going to bill you in 30 days from now for that, and if as long as you did not take delivery, mutter, it is permitted. I know you'll find poiskim that are machmir. Okay, so there are poiskim that are machmir. The credit card is a very vague area. There are talmidei chacham who have written thick svarim trying to decipher how halacha deals with credit cards. Yeah. Okay, next.
That's because the credit card next 30 days is going to take. Certificate that you are going to
buy. I'm not paying now. That's the way a credit card works. Next. Next halacha. Freshly laundered garments. Are you allowed to wear freshly laundered garments during the 9 days? Absolutely not. Now, you'll be shocked what that includes. It includes even linen. You're not allowed to put down on your bed fresh linen. That is forbidden. You're not allowed to wear fresh garments. Okay, even let's say you send your coat. Believe I knew this. A coat. Let us say you send a sweater or a coat. If you live in a region over here, it's not so. I don't think you need a coat over here. You don't hear about the Shabbat. Let's say you send your coat to the cleaners, and you pick it up. You're not allowed to wear it during the 9 days if it's not freshly if it's freshly laundered. Again, linen as well. Now, what about undergarments? So it's not so simple. We are makel. You can basically be very lenient. Socks, underwear, undershirts. You can be lenient, and you can wear freshly laundered undergarments. You want to be machmir? Tovei lov bracha. But the minig is to be makel when it comes to undergarments. They're just for zeya. It's not called a garment. It's just called to absorb sweat. And therefore, the minhag olam generally is to be makel. What happens if you forgot to prepare your freshly laundered garments from before the 9 days to try them on, or to lie down on your bed? But when you had freshly, also towels, you're not allowed to use a fresh towel in the 9 days. You can't go into your pantry, whatever, into your closet and take out a linen closet and take out a fresh towel. The towel had to already been used or have been. Or been somehow been no longer in your mind considered to be fresh during the 9 days. So you're supposed to use it in some way or some form where you no longer consider to be fresh. You're supposed to wear your clothing before the 9 days. For how long? Big tough question for how long you were supposed to have worn it for. He writes over here a very big chumah from a Bal Yashiv, if I'm not mistaken, 30 minutes. I don't know anyone who wears their shirts and pants for 30 minutes. People only do 10 minutes, for 5 minutes, even that. It just should not be considered to be freshly laundered. But what happens if you forget? Ma'isin b'chol yom. So you're not going to like this. So the solution is to throw it on the floor. If you forgot to wear it before the 9 days and you have to put on a new shirt, a freshly laundered shirt, or you want to use fresh linen, you want to use a towel, so, when your wife is not watching, you throw it on the floor, you roll it around, I guess a clean floor. I guess before you do it, I would recommend you first clean the floor, you should mop the floor, okay, make sure the floor is nice and clean. But even after it's clean, it's not so clean, and you roll it on the floor a little bit, when no one is watching, and you make it not freshly laundered. That you can do, and that's what a person is supposed to do for towels, for linen, and things like that. There are exceptions. Here's the exception. Very interesting exception. If you're a guest, if you are a guest in someone's home, then it's very interesting. They can put out for you freshly laundered. I don't. It's not yours. It's a very interesting halacha. I don't. Exactly. If you want to lie on a fresh linen, so you can't do it yourself. But if you go to as a guest in someone's home during the week, Shabbos is mutter, by the way. Shabbos, you can wear freshly laundered garments. But during the week, if you today have this urge, this urge to lie down on a freshly laundered, on fresh linen, and have a fresh towel, take a shower, go to a hotel. And you're allowed to. Believe it or not, you're allowed to go to a hotel, even a Jewish hotel. Because since you're a guest in someone else's property, even though it's freshly laundered, that's the halacha. I don't know why it's that. I guess if it's not yours, it takes away from the pleasure. Something like that. They are allowed to prepare for you. Believe it or not, the hotels are allowed to launder clothing during the 9 days because they have to prepare for guests. Now, here is one catch. If you're a guest in the hotel, you have to tell them even if you are a guest in a non-Jewish hotel, you are obligated to tell the service not to change the linen for the entire 9 days. You're obligated, even if you're in a non-Jewish hotel. They're not going to give you a discount. I guarantee you they're not going to give you a discount. Too bad. But they, when you come there for the first time, when you arrive in the middle of the 9 days, they are allowed, even a Jewish hotel, are allowed to prepare to wash, to launder, and to present, to put down on your bed, and to give you fresh towels, and you're allowed to use it. But once you get it for the first time, you're not that you have no excuse to have it changed for...
It's like a Yosef and Beis Asurim.
Not so simple. I don't know the answer. I don't know. That's not so simple.
Can you pick up clean clothes from the
cleaners? Yes, you can pick up if they already did it. Oh wait, no. I'm not talking about. No. You didn't pay for it yet. Yes, I believe you're allowed to. Yes, you are allowed to. Yes, if you gave in the clothing before the night, here's a very important question. Giving in clothing to a for dry cleaning, you're allowed to give it into them before the 9 days, and you're allowed to pick it up during the 9 days, but you're not allowed to bring it in the 9 days, even if you're not planning on using it until after the 9 days. Even a non-Jew, you're not allowed to bring in clothing during the 9 days to a dry cleaning service and tell them, I'm not coming back until after the 9 days. You can tell them, though, what you can't really tell them is, don't do it until after the 9 days. Okay, if they're not going to do it until, if you tell them, I'm not coming back and don't even do it, they can do whatever they want. But if you actually tell them not to do it, then that would be permitted. But that's not the way it works. The way it works, normally when you bring in your clothing into a dry cleaner, they do it right away. You want to go pick it up, that's up to you when you want to pick it up. By bringing it into a dry cleaner, in essence, you're telling them to do it right now. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to instruct a non-Jew, and certainly not a Jew, to dry clean your clothing, even though you're not planning on picking it up until after Tisha B'Av, and even though you're not planning on wearing the garments until after Tisha B'Av. However, if you did bring in the clothing before Tisha B'Av, and it's ready during the 9 days, you are allowed to pick up the clothing and even pay for it. You're not buying anything new. You're paying for a service of cleaning, and it was already cleaned, but you brought it into them before the 9 days, and you're not going to wear it until after the 9 days.
Yes, a hotel to give you a lot of towels when you come in there at the beginning of 9 days.
I guess so. I would assume so. They're fresh.
What about borrowing somebody's laundry shirt?
I don't think so. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Can you borrow someone else freshly laundered? The salach is very clear when it comes to it. It's very common. He'll go away during the 9 days. Going to a guest, you're allowed to appear for it. Now, Shabbos is mutter. All, everything is mutter on Shabbos. Yeah, what was the question?
This line, and if you, that's not 9 days. Friday afternoon, let's say 3 o'clock. Can you bring in?
Shabbos is no. Friday, no. You're not allowed to bring in.
No. But not 11.
So then they're not going to do it until after mutter. Yes. If you're going to bring into the lawn, into the dry cleaners, and it's a fact that they're not going to be doing it until after Tisha B'Av.
No, but that's on a Friday.
On a regular Shabbos question.
Yes.
So the rule is, as long as they don't have to, as long as, when do they guarantee it will be done? If they guarantee it's going to be done Saturday morning, and you bring it into them 5 minutes before Shabbos, then it's usher. But if you bring it in Friday morning, or you bring it even in a half an hour, bring it in even an hour, and a half an hour before Shabbos begins, and technically they have the ability to do it at that point in time, then it's mutter. They choose not to do it then. They won't do it. That's their problem. So and certainly if they're not gonna pick it up until Sunday, as long as theoretically it's possible for them to do it when it's not Shabbos, then you're not. And they're doing it on Shabbos. They're doing it for their own benefit. They're not doing it for you. Then it is mutter. Like a very common. You want to buy an Amazon. This is a very big problem. You want to buy Amazon Prime. Everyone's into Amazon Prime. So they deliver next day. Next day, same day, 2 days. It's not really next day. A lot of times it's really like more like 2-3 days. It's not really the way they claim. They make believe. They give you the next day. They don't always do that. They play games with you. But if you purchase something, let's say Friday morning, and they write there on the screen, guaranteed delivery Saturday morning, guaranteed delivery Saturday morning, what is the halacha? Are you allowed to click the button and make the purchase? It's not so simple. Not so simple what to do.
Because the same question linked with the mail, you put in mail, express delivery.
So mail, they're not guaranteeing you anything. Mail is mutter. You can put mail, you can put an envelope in the mail Erev Shabbos on your way to shul. On your way to shul Friday night, you can put the envelope in the mailbox. Because the New York, United States Postal Service guarantees you nothing. There is zero customer service. I mean zero means zero. I went to the store over here on Avenue M. There's this most popular store in the world. Everyone brings their Amazon packages to return everything over there. It's the most popular store in the whole Flatbush. So I wanted to send something. I couldn't care less about it. I said I want the cheapest possible. So he says there's USPS, United Postal Service, and you can have UPS. So what's the difference? The difference is 25 cents. I says, I don't care. Give me I don't even care about the give me the USPS. I don't care about the because I don't care about this item. I don't need UPS, even for 25 cents. So he says, no. Use UPS. I said, why? For 25 cents, you're going to get customer service. You'll be able to call up someone and know where it is. Yeah. USPS, there's no phone number. There's no one to talk to. So when you put a letter in the mail,
it's
not your, whatever they do, it's their whatever they want to do. You're not telling them to do anything. If you're paying money that it must be delivered at a certain moment in time, that's already a different story. The question is, the very big halachic dilemma that Poskim do not have a clear answer to, Prime, Amazon Prime. When they say guaranteed delivery by the next day, what does that mean? Let's say they don't give it the next day. What, you're going to get your money back? There's no refund. When they say guaranteed delivery Shabbos at 12 o'clock, Shabbos, first of all, they say Saturday can be the whole day. They can deliver it. Now Shabbos is very, very long. So Shabbos, they say by 8 o'clock, by the time the day ends. The day ends at 8 o'clock, they write, 8 o'clock. Shabbos ends at 6 o'clock. They got 2 hours. They can bring it to you in those 2 hours also. That would be mutter. But let's say it's the summertime, and the summertime, Shabbos over at past 8 o'clock, so they're guaranteed it's going to be brought mamish on Shabbos. What happens if they don't bring it to you? I don't, time, I don't buy that many things, but you know, they're guaranteed by the next day. It doesn't come the next day. It comes on Sunday. Oh, but you guaranteed? Yeah, we guaranteed. Who cares? We guaranteed. Nothing that we could have done, and we couldn't do for you. So we guaranteed. Or I can go to them and fight with them. I can't fight with them. It's not in the contract. Go read. Yeah, we try to get it to you very quickly. We write guarantee, but if we don't get it to you, guess what? You can't have tinnitus on us. So the end of the day is, you're the boss, not me. And therefore, Therefore, that's a loophole in, there's no prohibition, there's no admira la'akum. So there is room for leniency even when it comes to Amazon Prime. Okay, not so simple though. Okay, when you're really desperate, you can do it, but not. Yeah. Okay, so these are...
Another header. I said, sometimes they send you, they say, we'll send it between these 2 days.
Your Amazon Prime day, that's for sure mutter. That's... No, but that's you have to activate that. You have to trigger that condition, that clause, if you want to make use of it. The stamas are sending to you right away. Yeah, okay. We're going off the topic.
Is there any difference between Shavua, Shechal, Tishabu?
Excellent question. This year is Shavua, Shechalba. Now, Shavua, Shechalba, there's a rule. The exact Gedarim, to me, are very, very vague. I don't have clarity, so I can't say what I do not know. And it appears that many Poskim are also very confused because today the standards, the leniencies are very, very great. So it's very fuzzy to define the difference between what is Osir Shvu Shechalboy and there are things that you can do before Shvu Shechalboy, which you cannot do Shavua Shechalba. There are higher standards. But today, it's very hard to differentiate between what is the differences between the two. This year, it's further complicated by the fact that we have an entire week of Shavua Shechalba. Or do we have an entire week? He writes here in this, at least in this, is that the Poskim, they differentiate Halacha L'maisa for Ashkenazim between eating meat and wine versus laundering clothing. And he writes as follows, for Ashkenazim only, Sfardim are different, but Ashkenazim, this year there's basically no halacha of Shavua Shechalboy with regard to meat and wine and cutting your nails. Okay, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to cut your nails during Shavua Shechalboy. But before Shavua Shechalboy, you are allowed to cut your nails. Eating meat and wine, you can be much more lenient when it's not Shavua Shechalboy versus Shavua Shechalboy. Especially when it comes to children, especially if a person is on the border. I'm not feeling so well, I maybe can use a little meat, it would be more healthy for me, a little more protein. So this year, there's no Shavua Shechalboy. You can take advantage of leniencies in meat and one, a poisek will be much quicker, much swifter to say mutter, mutter, mutter when it comes to eating meat and drinking wine this entire week than an ordinary Shavua Shechalboy. And of course, you're permitted lechatchil to cut your nails the entire week. With regard to laundering your clothing, which also very vague, the differences between the two, you have to be machmer. Ashkenazim have to be machmer. The entire week has the stringencies of Shavua Shechalboy. This is the way he presents, after a lot of research, the way Rav Simcha Bunim Kohen presents what is the bottom line for Ashkenazim. A differentiation between the laws of meat, wine, and cutting nails versus wearing freshly laundered clothing and taking haircuts. I think the main difference is taking haircuts. I think that really turns out to be the only real main difference. People who go to work, there used to be, maybe there probably still is, a class of people who work in a very professional environment and have to be sharp as a whistle. Be very, very sharp, and they have to shave during the 9 days. Okay, there are people like that. They have to shave during the 9 days.
Parnassa?
What?
For Parnassa.
For Parnassa, people have a Chal Shabbos, and they rob a bank. Right. Everything goes to Parnassa. It's Pikuach Nefesh. But this is probably the only nafkamina, because everything else is very, very fuzzy. Everything is very, very fuzzy. And the only nafkamina really is that there are people out there in the world, ad hayom hazeh, that shave during the 9 days. Because they have to. They're lawyers, they're doctors, they have to be presentable 100%. And they shave. Even these people, they do not shave Shavua Shechalba. So let's say, for argument's sake, Tisha B'Av is on a Tuesday. Make believe if it can fall on a Tuesday. And they go into work and they go to work on Monday. They go to work on Monday. They don't shave Sunday, Monday, they don't shave. Shavuot Shechalba, they don't shave. That's the halacha. You can be very lean when it comes to when you have to have no choice, you have to be able to shave. You can shave. You can shave during the 9 days. But not during Shavuot Shechalba. Some people don't even have that choice. Some people they have to shave on Sunday, Monday as well. Okay, but there are many people who will not shave Sunday, Monday, but will shave during the week. For those people, this year they have a very big problem. Because this year, this entire week has the status of Shavuot Shechalba, and there's no leniencies for shaving. There are no leniencies for shaving and taking haircuts the entire week. This week is a week that's very, very chamor. Only for shaving and wearing freshly laundered garments, which is not really a problem because there's a solution for that. Fresh laundered garments are stored on the floor where no one's watching and you're good to go.
On the other hand, there's a cooler right after Tisha B'Av, you could do the laundry, right?
Right, because that's a side thing. That's a side thing.
Getting shaved?
We'll discuss that in a few moments. Taking a shower, but when it comes to that is really the only thing that this year for Ashkenazim, according to Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn, again you might hear from other Poskim other opinions. You may hear from Poskim no that everyone could be like the Svardim, and there's no Shavuot Shechalba. There's no Shavuot Shechalba.
We don't eat meat and we don't drink wine. This week.
But what about taking haircut? I don't know.
Haircut we don't do.
This year is very complicated. What is the status? There's a different. I'm not clear the minhagia of the Sfardim. I don't know clarity. But as far as Ashkenazim, Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn here is a lot of information. He cites a lot of sources and he worked with the halacha. You can trust him. And he makes this differentiation between meat, wine, cutting nails, you can be lenient, versus freshly laundered clothing and taking haircuts where you have to be machmir, taking showers. Now, these are the issues. Me'ikar hadin, a person is not allowed to bathe during the 9 days. There's almost no one that will tell you to observe that halacha. Okay? It's very strange. How can you say such a thing that's not like the Shulchan Aruch? So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to do what you need to do. Whatever you need to do. Every person is different. The very, very least is when a person goes into the shower, he should be conscious. At that moment in time, that it's the 9 days, and he should not be doing this. And the water should be a bit colder than it ordinarily is. And he should stay in the shower for less time than he ordinarily would stay. And he should use less soap and shampoo than he ordinarily would. Some people will skip the soap and shampoo. Some will skip the shampoo, but not the soap. Some will take a cold shower. To each his own. Everyone, there's this famous joke, right? The famous joke is, if you're accustomed to taking a shower every day, this is a joke, because people, I think most people take a shower. If you take a shower every day, so take a shower every other day. If you take a shower every other day, take a shower every 3 days. If you're cost of taking a shower every 3 days, you should be taking more showers. Okay, so what do you do every single day? Listen, this don't even go there. Every person does what they need to do. Every person, this is a very private, personal matter. Hygiene is very important. And every person is different. And you have to take into consideration other people. Other people. If you're married, you're in a lot of trouble. You have to take into consideration other people. If you hang out with other people, it's not nice that you may don't care if you smell, but it's not nice to sit down on the train next to someone. Okay, so you have to take into consideration other people. And today, the average person does not view showering as an enjoyment. They consider it a necessity. It's just a necessary evil of life. It can be enjoyable. It can be enjoyable. And for some people, it is enjoyable. But most people just view it as a matter of hygiene. And that makes the issue a lot lighter. In time of Chazal, it was an event. It was an event. You go to a bathhouse. It was a tainug. There was the bathhouse attendant. He was a celebrity. He was like someone you give mafta to every Shabbos. He's like the butler, the bathhouse attendant. He gives you a special towel, and you have a mokum kavua in the bathhouse, and you give a shir. This guy gives the shir in the bathhouse. It was a social. It was a social scene. You go to the bath. No, stop. You take a shower. This is a life changing event to go to the merchatz. Okay, this is not stamazoy. You go take a shower like today. So that's why today we're very, very, very different standards in what we do. It's a personal matter, to each his own. Don't go there. Do what you need to do, but be conscious when you're in the shower. What you're doing is during the 9 days, and the person should be memayit. Okay,
what about this man right after tzon?
That we're going to discuss tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow we're going to talk about this year's unique. So we're going to just finish up. Okay. Now there are exceptions. If you exceptions to wearing freshly laundered clothing and taking showers, and that is a bris. The avi haben is a lot of shower, wear freshly laundered clothing. Okay, there's a lot of exceptions. Pidyon haben, the family bris, and the best one is go on a date. Both a boy and a girl are allowed to shower. And they're allowed to wear their Shabbos clothing and other fresh. All the rules are suspended. It's a whole new Shulchan Aruch. Shidduchim, it's pikuach. It's pikuach nefesh. Shidduchim is pikuach nefesh. You can do whatever you want, except for shaving. Shaving and taking a haircut, they don't allow. Okay, that they don't allow. Poskim do not allow, but everything else that needs to be done. Shabbos. Everything is mutter. You can eat whatever you want on Shabbos. You can wear freshly laundered clothing on Shabbos. You can bathe fully for Shabbos. Some say you should bathe a little bit less Erev Shabbos. Okay, you can bathe and you can wear freshly laundered clothing. You can wear Shabbos clothing. Years ago, you should know today, Baruch Hashem, we live in the melting pot today, so one size fits all. Everyone today, you come to shul on Shabbos, everyone is wearing Shabbos clothing. And that's the way it is. That's the way it should be today. But you should know years ago, it was not like that. There were communities, Shabbos Chazoin, it's shocking for us to think like this, but it was pretty popular, it seems. Shabbos Chazoin, you come to shul in your big day choil. Could you imagine that? You come to shul on Shabbos wearing your dungarees, your jeans, your t-shirts, and your caps. You wear your big day choil, Shabbos Chazoin. You don't wear big day Shabbos. Today, that is unacceptable. Okay, that is a minug for people who understood what Tisha B'Av was and knew how a balance between Shabbos understood. That would be on a very high madrega to wear your big day chol on Shabbos Chazoin. Today we're not on such a madrega where we can do such a thing. And today it's unacceptable to do such a thing. Therefore today on Shabbos the custom is to wear, you wear on Shabbos Chazoin big day Shabbos freshly laundered garments, and there's no difference between this Shabbos and a regular Shabbos. Okay, that pretty much any other group that tomorrow, next day, we're going to learn the laws of Tisha B'Av, and especially the laws of Tisha B'Av, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. Are there any other questions? Polishing shoes. Are you allowed to polish shoes? Not really. You shouldn't polish your shoes during the 9 days. Okay? Erev Shabbos, for Shabbos, you can. Anything else I left out?
Learning in the after.
That we'll discuss tomorrow. The answer is yes, you're allowed to. That we'll discuss tomorrow. But anything about the 9 days? Any other questions? What? 9 days. Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to cut your nails. Yes, you're allowed to cut your nails Erev Shabbos. There's no Shul Shachal B'Fash Klas, but you can cut your nails in Erev Shabbos. Mutter. Any questions about the 9 days? Anyone have any questions? Okay, we'll say the question for tomorrow. Okay, we have a few minutes left. So either you want to take a break for a second? All right, just for a second. And then we're going to learn some kinnis.
So the waiters went to the middle language. Can you take a shower? See, this is exactly what I said. Do you stink? So they said, yes, take a shower.
Everyone stinks. That's the problem. Everyone stinks.
This day, I regret after children. My father was a painter. He's a laborer. He came on the 9 days, he's taking a shower. So I bishop, the 50-year-old bishop, Jesus Christ, the kid, it's 9 days, isn't that it?
All right.
And I realized I got older, I said, look at